So we're still in the sugya of Olsam al Adam Reyachov. We're going to have a shorter shiur today, obviously, because we have Mincha 12:35. But I really wanted to start the sugya with the issue of whether you need to put your own life in danger in order to save somebody else's life. We got a little sidetracked on the other issues, on Zaken Veinul Fikvodo, and Ma'avirat Smoladas, and, you know, the Chiddush of the Minchas Chinuch, and the Chiddush of Rav Shlomo Kluger, and trying to attack the Minchas Chinuch and Rav Shlomo Kluger. So we got into that a little bit. Just to close off that issue quickly, the Minchas Chinuch discusses what happens. The Gemara 9 Gimel that we saw, the Gemara says very clearly that why do I need a pasuk of Losam al Dam Reacha? Don't I already know it from Vashi Vosalo? So we discussed what the Gemara didn't say. Now, why didn't the Gemara say Maveras Mol Das? Why didn't the Gemara say you needed to teach me Zakim Veinul Fikvodo? All that stuff. What did the Gemara say though? The Gemara said it teaches me that you need to hire somebody to do the job. So to be completely blunt and honest with you, I have no idea what that Gemara means. What does it mean you need to hire somebody to do the job? What did I think before, and what do I now think? Did I think before you didn't need to spend any money, and now I think you have to spend all your money? Did I think before you needed to spend up to a fifth of your money, and now I think you need to spend all of your money? And even when we do say you have to spend all of your money, does that mean you have to lose all of your money? Does the guy owe you the money? If you spend it, does he have to pay you back? Exactly what the Gemara means is not at all clear to me. However, the Minchas Chinuch in Reish Lamed Zayin Os Aleph gets the conversation moving a little bit, at least. If you look in Reish Lamed Zayin Os Aleph in your packets, he says, well, after he discusses Ma'avir Atzmo Das, in the second paragraph over there, he says, "Ayn Tosfos Sham Dibra Maskalat Silo Shehikshu Lamli Apaskal Samar Nafkali Mirotzech Nitzan Atzibla Nafsho." Ayn Shem Shetir to Dimirotzech Laviela Say Kasvat Torah Diavor Belav. So he says, Tosfos raises the question. We saw the Tosfos. Why do I need the Paskal Samar? I already know from the Kal V'Chomer from Rotzeach that it's Nitzan Atzibla Benafsho. So he says, no, from that you only would have known that it's an assay. We need a los assay. That's how Tosas answers. So it says Minchas Chinuch, Minira da'afte in Lokin, Mikal Makom Kasva Torah Lav B'Makom Assay. He says, when we make it a lav, it doesn't mean you get Malkus. It just means that it's a los assay. So he says, L'chor Tzarchin, my Maksha Gemar, Delam Li Los Amud, Vamay Shivosu Nafka, Hisrach Lav or Lav B'Los Assay. Dime Hasomein Rak Assay. He says, well, then what was the Gemara's kasha? The Gemara asks, what do I need Vashivoso? What do I need Losamud for? I already have Vashivoso. Why didn't the Gemara answer to make it a losase? So he says, Achkivan datar rips the dezel b'chal hashav saveda imkein kemoga be'avidus moment over gamkein al losuchal yusalim v'rips datar degam al avidus gufo over gamkein b'lav zed losuchal. So he says, maybe what you can suggest is that from Vashivoso we would already know a losase. We already know that it's a los assay. How do we already know that it's a los assay? Because Hashavas Aveda also is a los assay. What's los assay of Hashavas Aveda? Losucha l'salim. So that's why the Gemara couldn't answer that losamud adds on Vashivosilo that it's a los assay. As I'm reading, I'm thinking that's not the Minchas Chinuch I wanted to read. It's the next line. Okay, of course. Mitrach va'agir. So says Minchas Chinuch, you have to pay money, right? The Gemara says you have to pay money in order to hire somebody to save somebody else's life. Ayin barash ubetur choshemishpatzim tavchav vav dim yesh lahanitzol mamon tzarech l'shalim lahamatzil v'amachab b'shulchan aruch shmita. Very strange. It says, first of all, the Rishonim, right? That if the guy that is being saved has money, he has to reimburse the guy who saved him. Okay? Rishonim say that. So even though I have a mitzvah to save you, and my mitzvah, the Gemara says, even goes so far as to require me to hire somebody to save you, but if you have money, you happen to be a rich guy, you're mechuyev to pay me back. That's Aleph. That's what the Rishonim say. Beis, says the Minchas Chinuch, Shulchan Aruch forgets to mention this. So Shulchan Aruch doesn't forget to mention things. That's obviously an issue. Shulchan Aruch doesn't mention it. There must be some reason that he disagrees with what it says in the Rishonim, with what the Rush writes and what the Torah writes. Now, to deal with that issue of spending the money and what exactly the requirements are. So Minchas Chinuch discusses that issue. The Yad Ramah says, the Yad Ramah and the Rush apparently have machlokas about this, where the Yad Ramah says you don't have to pay for it. The guy who got saved does not have to pay for it, whereas the Rush thinks that the guy who got saved does have to pay for the saving. In if you look in Nishmas Avraham, it's in your packets here somewhere. The Nishmas Avraham, which is Dr. Abraham's sefer, many volumes. Have you ever seen Nishmas Avraham? Anyone, you guys familiar at all Nishmas Avraham? If anyone here want to be a doctor, no, no one's pre-med. Okay, if you what. A dentist? Maybe, yeah, a little bit. Nishmas Avraham is a medical halacha sefer. Dr. Abraham basically took any halacha that relates to any halacha that at all relates to medicine and was misader all the marmakomos al pi the seder of Shulchan Aruch. So if you want to know, is there anything in Aruch Chaim Simin, I don't know, Reish Sadivav that relates to medicine? So you'd open up a Nishmas Avraham, Aruch Chaim Reish Sadivav, and he has any medical shayla that relates to that Simin of Shulchan Aruch. Very fantastic work. So in Nishmas Avraham, in Choshem Mishpat Simin Tav Chav Vav, which is exactly the last Simin in Shulchan Aruch where these issues are dealt with, where the issues of saving lives and risking your life is dealt with. So if you look at Nishmas Avraham, you find the page, see, it says I wrote Nishmas Avraham, my own handwriting on the bottom of the page. See that? And then we could die to see it inside. So says Dr. Abraham in the bracketed section, I'll give you a second to find it. It's right before the page in of Matziah, right after the Igros Moshe. Big packet this time. Not so easy to find everything. Yeah, we there? We got it. We're all good? Almost. Oh, okay. So it says in Nishmas Avraham, V'anitzol chayiv l'froa l'matzil, mashahotzi l'hatzalasa. The guy who was saved has to pay back the guy who saved him for all expenses that were involved in saving him. De'ena d'mechuyiv l'hatzil nefesh chaver b'mamono, hecha de'isle mamono l'nitzol. Because you're not mechuyiv to save somebody's life with your money when the other guy has his own money. Why should I have to spend my own money if he has his own money? And he quotes this from the Russian Sanhedrin, Perech Es Simin Beis. I think we saw that Rush last time. I just mentioned now. Avolum ein lo b'mel faro lo yimana b'shvil zes. You might think, okay, I want to save, Reuven wants to save Shimon. So Reuven's going to say, when I save Shimon, Shimon owes me money. He has to pay me back. What if Shimon is poor and I know he's never going to be able to pay me back? So do I not have to save him? Because he's not going to be able to pay him back. So he says, no, we don't go that far. You still have a mitzvah to save him. And if you don't save him, it's a violation of losamad al dam reyacha. And that's how Rashi explains tov shabarofim legehenim. Because what's tov shabarofim legehenim? Why do the best doctors, according to the Mishnah at the end of Kedushin, go to Gehenim? So many explanations of why that would be so. But Rashi says, pshat is very simple. These are people that have the ability to save lives. But if you don't have insurance, they're not going to save your life. If you don't have if you don't have the ability to pay them, then they're not interested in saving somebody's life. So that's going to be a violation of Losam al Dam Recha, and therefore they go to Gehenim. Va'ein b'tur kan shekol save miu im yesh lo mamon lahatzil atzmo chayav l'shalim l'zeh. But if the guy has money, he certainly the person who was saved has money. He certainly has to pay for that. Ayin gam shal shuv smarsham idus Moshe. V'yesh la'ayin. So says Nishmas Avraham. Let's take a look. Ibin and dafka shiyeh lo mamun b'shas atzala, avalovim balo mamun acharkach, o lo shna. When is the nitzel chayiv to pay? Do we say that the nitzel is chayiv to pay the matzil if at the time that he was saved, he was in possession of a lot of money? He's a multimillionaire, and the matzil spent a few thousand dollars to save him. So good, so the nitzel should pay back the matzil. Let's say the Nitzel at the time that he was saved was quite poor. And only later did he make his money. After he was saved, 2 weeks after he was saved, he won the lottery. He decided he was feeling lucky, he won the lottery. Now is he chayiv to pay? So what's it talia? What the issue is there a shibud that's created? Meaning that if I borrow money from somebody, whether I have money right now to pay it back or I don't have money right now to pay it back, I'm still going to owe the money. And whenever I make new money, I'll be meshubet to pay you back. So there's a shibud that's created that I owe the money, and it doesn't matter whether I have the money now, but at the time that you save me and spend money to save me, it's a shibud, it's as if I borrowed money from you. And therefore that shibud is always going to be there. Well, what's the other side? Why wouldn't the guy who was saved have to pay back once he wins the lottery? He has to pay if he has the money on hand. But if he doesn't have the money on hand, then even if he wins the lottery later, he doesn't have to pay. What's the svara?
He knows he's not going to be paid there. He saved.
That the guy is mochel, you're saying, by spending...
Because he knows he's not going to be paying back.
Since he knows that maybe there's an inherent mechila, good, possible, very possible. Could also be, perhaps, that it's just the nature of the chiyuv mamon is that the chiyuv on the person to save, the chiyuv of Osamar Adam Re'echa is save him with whatever way you can. Now, if he happens to have money, so you don't have to save him with your own money, you could save him with his money. If he doesn't have money, then that's part of your chiyuv of Osamar Adam Re'echa, is to save him with your money. So it's not that he's meshubah to pay you, it's just that you never would have had, if the guy you're saving has money, you never would have had the chiyuv to spend money in the first place. So that's why he has to pay you back, because you never had the chiyuv. It was always his chiyuv. His chiyuv to do the money, my chiyuv to do the saving, to do the actual legwork on the saving, but it was his chiyuv mamon. If he didn't have money at the time, then the entire chiyuv falls on the matzil, falls on the person who's doing the saving, both the physical end of the chiyuv, as well as the monetary end of the chiyuv. It's all part of my mitzvah, it's part of my requirement to save his life. And if it's all part of my mitzvah to save his life, he doesn't have to pay me back for something that I had a chiyuv to do at that time. It's not that there's a shibud that it's as if he's borrowing money from me. No, it's my mitzvah. Sometimes doing mitzvahs is costly. Sometimes it costs some money. And this is a situation where it costs money. So he quotes, "Ubimishna muva, the Mishnah Maseches Peah writes as follows. Balabai shaya over mimakom lamakom. Vitzarech li talleket shichu peah umaisrani." So he has an interesting dimyon, an interesting tsushtel, to another case in Chazal to compare this to. The Mishnah Peah discusses, what if you're traveling, you're not home, and because you're not home, you don't have any money on you. All your money is back home, wherever your secret hiding place is for all your cash, that's where all your money is. And you're traveling somewhere. So he says, you're allowed to take lekat shichu. The Mishnah says, you're allowed to take lekat shichu pei maisrani. You're allowed to take all the matnus aniyim. Because right now, where you are, traveling, roaming around, you're nani. You'll be an usher. You really are an usher. You have millions of dollars at home. You don't have access to any of those funds. Mele, you're a nani. So yitol kshiachsa lebeis, so yishalim divrei b'lazer, v'cham omrim ani hayibos v'shah. So good. You can definitely take lekat shichu pei. Do you have to pay it back when you get home? Think about it. You're worth billions of dollars, millions of dollars, whatever it is. A lot of money. And you took matnos aniyim, you're taking tzedakah money. You're taking tzedakah funds. Why? Because I currently don't have access to my vast amount of funds. So do I have to pay it back when I do get home? So it's machlokas tanaim. Reb Elazar says, yeah, when you get home, obviously you got to pay it back. You're a rich man, you can't take this. And the chachamim say, no. You were fully entitled to take that money. You were an ani, but also sha'a. Rav Shachter tells a story, I think I mentioned to you in the past, that when he was a bachur in yeshiva in YU, they used to walk on Shabbos Shuvah all the way to the Bronx to hear Rabbi Gorelick's Shabbos Shuvah drasha. Rabbi Gorelick was a real kawach, and he was a very exciting speaker. So they walked all the way to the Bronx to hear Rabbi Gorelick's Shabbos Shuvah drasha. And after Shabbos was over, Rabbi Gorelick went to the shul's pushka. He took out some money and he gave it to them and said, "Here, pay for a taxi to get back to yeshiva." And they said, "Really? It's tzedakah money. We're not poor." He said, "Well, how much money do you have on you?" Yeah. They said, "We don't have anything on us." "Well, where are you going to get money from?" "I don't know. We don't have any of our money." So, well, then you're poor. Then you're an ani. It's like the guy going, mimakum mimakum. Exactly this Mishnah in Maseches Peah. So this Paskan Halacha in the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, like the Chachamim, that you don't have to pay it back. So what does he want to say? Maybe you say the same thing over here. The guy is being saved and he's an ani, and it was the responsibility of the matzil to pay for it, because the person, the nitzol, is an ani. Later the nitzol will become an ashir. As soon as he gains access to his funds, or as soon as he wins a lottery, he'll become an ashir. But it doesn't matter. At that time he was an ani. So the chiv is defined at that time. Mele, he doesn't have any chiv mamon. But a wild card to throw into the mix is that the Rambam says, even though we pass on that you do not have to pay back when you get back home to your millions of dollars, but midas chasidus you should. It's the right thing to do. Vayin sham tosher b'kiv eger shemak shal haramba merish perek hazra umaskim shu pater gami midas chasidus vayin beboas sham. Some of the achronim say no. You have to, even midas chasidus, you don't have to pay it back. We pass like chum straight and straight, so straight through. You don't have to pay it back at all. And he wondered, or Chashulchan wonders, why the Rambam only says this in Pirush HaMishnayos, that it's a Midas Chasidus payback, and he doesn't pass it anywhere in Mishnah Torah. V'marsham maybe gami gemara chulim kuflam rambeiz, v'kal makom Midas Chasidus l'seitz yidei shemayim, tzarech l'shalim. Marsham thinks, based on the gemara chulim also, Midas Chasidus, it's the right thing to do. So we'd say the same thing over here, that Meikradin, since the Nitzel was poor at the time that he was saved, so he's not going to have to pay it back, even though he was rich later, just like the Mishnah Maseches Peah. So says Dr. Abraham. Dr. Abraham Shlita was a Talmud of Rosh Shlomo Zalman Orbach, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, and many of his Pesachim come directly from Rav Shlomo Zalman. So he writes, because of Li Hagon Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach Shlita, he wrote this when Rav Shlomo Zalman was still alive, Shaini Hasam Hol Vuhu Ani Ba'usa Sha'a Dino Ka'ani Shenis Asher Demi Kalmakam Shalon Natal Mashayin Kin Hacha Zeh Shenitzal Kvar Chayiv Me'achshav V'lom Lo Yishayim Lok Shia Lo Mamon. Shlomo Zalman said, I don't think they're the same case at all. The Ani who's taking money from Leket Shechapeya, from the Tzedakah box, he mamish was poor at that time, and therefore he was entitled to take that money at that time. An ani doesn't have to keep cheshbon of how much tzedakah he took and then pay it back later. I mean, why would this be any different? Think about it. You have a guy who's an ani for 10, 15, 20 years, and then, you know, and he had to take money from other people. And then one day he strikes it rich. He invests in a business, does well, he strikes it rich. Does he have to track down every single person he took tzedakah from and pay every single one of them back? Is that part of his chiyuv? Avada not. He had every right to take that money when he took it. Doesn't have to feel guilty about it. Doesn't have to feel bad about it. He's an ani. So that's what tzedakah is for. It's for aniim. So he had every right to take that money. He doesn't have to go give it back. So says Shlomo Zalman, yeah, by the ani, that's true. But over here, it's not true. Over here, the nitzel is already chayiv right at the moment that his life is being saved. He just didn't happen to have money. What's the difference? So what Shlomo Zalman seems to be saying is that the nature of the din is a different din. That over here, it creates a shibud. When an ani gets tzedakah from somebody, it's not that it creates a shibud that he's borrowing money and he's going to have to pay it back as soon as he's rich if he ever gets rich. No. You give him money, it's his forever. But when a person's life is being saved, it and there's money spent on it, it creates a shibud. And there's money that is owed. Now, is it a full shibud? Like if, let's say, the person dies without ever having paid it back, did he do something wrong? I don't think it's a full shibud because he never accepted it on himself, midas. It's a shibud that the Torah creates, kishayachal, when he's going to be able to do it. You know what I'm saying? Meaning if it's not, if it were a real shibud, when I borrow money from you, so let's say I just never work it out that I'm able to pay it back. So then I did something wrong. That's bad. I'm going to go up Lachar Me'eves from Shana if I didn't pay back money. And then I'm going to say, look, you shouldn't have borrowed money that you can't pay back. It's going to be a problem. Okay. I have to come through different tachbulos, different, what? You have to be mochel the money. You have to be mochel, you know, not just stam to say I'm mochel you for anything you did wrong to me. You have to be mochel money to get rid of the shibud. But, So that's something that you're mochel to do. It's going to be a problem. It's going to be on the, you know, on the scales up in Shemayim. It's going to be an issue. If a guy was drowning and Shimon was drowning and Reuven saves his life and spends money to save his life and Shimon never is able to come up with the money to reimburse Reuven for that, you think Lachar Me'eves asked something to say to Shimon, look, you should have paid back Reuven. It's a chov? Nah, it's not a real chov in that sense. That he has that it's a problem if he's never able to pay it back. That like you know, that it's some sort of shibud on his nechasim or anything like that. What it is that it's a partial shibud. It's a shibud that when you have money, the chiyuv is going to transfer onto you. That when you have money, the chiyuv to pay back is going to be transferred. Yeah.
What makes this a shibud?
Right. Meaning, there's never an acceptance of any shibud, so it's hard to.
Saves someone, he kind of expects
So you say it's like a mechila al tanai. I'm being mochel you al tanai that you never have the money. But if you have the money, I do expect you to pay me back.
It's like when someone gives tzedakah, so obviously no one expects to get that money back.
Right, no one ever expects to get it back. Yeah, that could very well be. You could very well be that. It's all in the expectation. And then it's like it's like mechila al tanai. Yeah.
This is very specific, but this would be very specific, but like if he saves his life and he has the money to pay him back, but he says, but you could have paid me that, you could have like saved me in a much cheaper way.
It's a very interesting nafkamina. Meaning, how do you view this? Islam decides that case a little bit. It's a very fascinating case. Reuven spends $1,000 saving Shimon. Shimon says, you know, if you were smart, you could have saved me for $500. So the Shimon of $500. So what's the chiyuv? Is the chiyuv on the money spent, or is the chiyuv on? No, how would you say it? The chiyuv is on that whatever money is spent to save your life, you are now mechiyuv to reimburse, or is that there's a chiyuv that you're chiyuv to save yourself? Your chiyuv to save yourself and to not commit suicide, not let yourself die, includes whatever money you would take to keep yourself alive. So your chiyuv only goes as far as the money that it would take to keep yourself alive, not the money that was actually spent to keep you alive. Right? Meaning, I guess you'd say it like this. Is it really a chiyuv klape the other person? Right? Is it something that Shimon owes Reuven for what Reuven spent? Or is it a chiyuv klape Shemaya that it was really Shimon's responsibility to spend this money? It wasn't Reuven's responsibility. It was Shimon's. If Shimon has money, it was Shimon's responsibility to spend this money. Elamai, Reuven is laying out the money for him. Reuven is chiv to lay it out for him. But the chiv that Shimon has to save his own life, klape Shemaya, is only chiv to spend the amount of money necessary to save his own life. That would be very good nafkamina, right? And that may relate to. So how does that relate to our shaylov? Do you have to pay? Right, meaning even within the tzad that you have to pay Reuven back if you didn't have any money at that time. Oh, even forget. What do we say? We had a discussion. Do you have to pay Reuven back if you didn't have any money at that time? So how do we say over the chakira? So on the one hand, you could say, well, I don't have to pay back because I was poor at the time, so there was no chiyuv. There was no chiyuv mamon. But you say, no, there is a shibud that's created at the time. There is some sort of chiyuv mamon that's created at that time. So maybe this is another nafkamina. If it's that there's no chiyuv mamon whatsoever, why is there no chiyuv mamon? Because it's the other guy's chiyuv to spend money. It's the other guy's chiyuv, it's Reuven's chiyuv to spend money. I don't have any money, so I'm pater. I don't have any chiyuvim klape Reuven. No, say the other way around. If my chiv is klape Shemaya, Shimon's chiv is klape Shemaya, well, when you don't have any money, you don't have any chiv klape Shemaya. So it was all Reuven's chiv klape Shemaya, right? But if my chiv is klape Reuven, that means that that can happen. When I don't have money, I can still be mechayev myself to pay you money, right? I can create a shibud. When I have a chiv klape Yosef, my chiv to spend money is klape Reuven, Shimon's chiv is klape Reuven, then so that would be two nafkaminas to the same chakira. I like that, right? Again, let's say it clear. The chakir is like this. When Reuven lays out the money for Shimon, what are the mechanics of Reuven laying out the money for Shimon? Is it that Shimon has his own chiyuv klape Shemaya to save himself, Elamai, Reuven is just covering him for the chiyuv? Or is it that Shimon doesn't have any chiyuv klape Shemaya to spend money? It's Reuven's chiyuv, purely Reuven's chiyuv to save money. So Shimon has to pay Reuven back, right? Shimon is going to have to reimburse Reuven for whatever he did. But it's not a chiyuv klape Shemaya. So nafkamina would be, what if Shimon didn't have any money at the time? So there can't be a chiyuv of Shimon klape Shemaya, but there can be a chiyuv of Shimon klape Reuven if Shimon didn't have any money. Because I could always be mechayev myself even if I don't have any money. I can't be mechayev myself klapei Shemaya if I don't have any money. I'm always putter from things, you know, from mitzvah related things when I don't have any money, with the exception of pirsumi nisa issues, right? Whereas, and the other nafkamina would be if he overspent. If my chiv is klapei Reuven, so I got to pay for whatever he paid for, But if Mechiv is Klapei Shemaya, if Shimon's Chiv is Klapei Shemaya, so then he only has to pay for what it would have taken to save him, which could have been a lot less. Does that work? Make sense?
Yeah.
So we've got to work it out a little bit, got to refine it a little bit. But I think something like that. It turns out that you have a simple Chakira with two Nafkaminas. Who's the Chiv towards? Is it?
And if the chiyuv is unruly to just pay that minimal amount, then obviously he'd only need to pay back the minimal amount because that's the only chiyuv that was unruly. So that's Klapei Shemaya.
Right, that would be the Klapei Shemaya. Right. Reuven chose to spend extra money. I guess the way, maybe just to refine a little more, Shimon has a chiyuv Klapei Shemaya to save himself. When Shimon is unable to do that, that chiyuv Klapei Shemaya transfers on to Reuven. And it's his chiyuv to do that. Right, that's the chiddush of the Gemara. Or to say, no, Shimon doesn't have a chiyuv klapei Shemaya. Reuven has a chiyuv to save Shimon, and Shimon has a chiyuv towards Reuven. Shimon has a chiyuv. You could even say Shimon has a chiyuv to save himself, and Reuven is the one that's laying it out for Shimon. Right, but not that Reuven has a chiyuv. It's not that it's a chiyuv klapei Shemaya. It's a chiyuv between Shimon and Reuven that Shimon has to pay Reuven back. So if it's a chiyuv klapei Shemaya, so then it would only be on the 500, it wouldn't be on the full 1,000. Reuven was just an idiot, he didn't know how to get a good deal, he overspent. What if it's a chiyuv klapei chavero? So then whatever money was spent in saving your life, you have a chiyuv to reimburse whatever money was spent saving your life. Maybe you could say like that. What if you don't have any money? If you didn't have any money at the time your life was saved, so if you had no money at the time your life was saved, if it's chiyuv klapei Shemaya, we wanted to say that you don't have to pay anything because you had no money, and therefore the chiyuv was transferred to Reuven. What if it's chiyuv klapei Reuven? It doesn't matter that you don't have any money; you still have to pay Reuven back. You didn't have any money at the time; you got money later, so you owe the money because it's a chiyuv of Shimon klapei Reuven. Makes sense, right?
And you would have to become a zevet.
You would owe Reuven.
Whatever Reuven spent, yeah.
Or you'd have to become a zevet.
Ah, so that's what I was saying before, that I find it hard to believe that it's a full-fledged shibud, for real shibud, you're right, you would have to become an eved. But at some level, it must be a little less of a shibud than that, because I don't think we find anywhere that you would have to become his eved. Not his eved, or an eved. The way it works
is
you would sell yourself. What?
Not so crazy.
He saved your life, so it makes sense that...
just between paying back.
Right, I hear that.
These days, obviously, it's not so applicable.
Right, I hear that. Okay, maybe it's not so crazy. Maybe you're right. Another point for discussion over here. If you take a look, see if I can find the right page here. Flip a couple of pages ahead on Gemara Kiddushin. Okay. Gemara Kiddushin talks about Daf Ches and Beis, talks about being Mekadesh Nisha. I guess we're not going to get to Safek Sakana today. We'll just be on spending money. Tomorrow, Be'ezras Hashem, Safek Sakana. But the Gemara Kiddushin discusses the following case. You want to be Mekadesh Nisha. So there are a lot of ways to be Mekadesh Nisha. Most of you, when it comes time, will probably take a ring that has some value, more than a Shavu Pruta, and will say, Harei Mekadesh Zipitvah Zukadash Moshe Yisrael. But if you want to get a little more shticky than using a simple ring, you may want to wait until a dog is chasing her and say that with the hana'a that you're getting from the dog saving you, I am being mekadesh you in front of two edim. You may not want to do that in Marina Del Rey. They may throw you out. Okay, but anyway, so says it, you know, the stakes on proposals have been like consistently rising. Like you have to be more and more creative. So maybe they'll the next step is to be more and more creative with the Maisa Kiddushin. Don't get ideas, Evan. Boy Rav Mari, Kelev Ratzach Areha, Mahu. There's a dog running after her. So what's the din? Do you say that the hana that she's getting from being saved from that dog is enough for her to be kona herself, to be makna herself to this husband? Or maybe she could say to him, you're chayv midaraisa to save me. So it's not special hana that I'm getting from you. It's your chiv d'oraisa. The dog was chasing me. Take. Mara leaves it unresolved. Take a look at Rav Elchanan on the next page. Elchanan Kiddushin Os Ayin Vav. Says Rav Elchanan, Kelev Ratzach Re'am Mahu. L'pirish Rashi is Kovit Shurim. Rav Elchanan is Kovit Shurim Os Ayin Vav in Kiddushin. L'pirish Rashi Hay Bayihi Ibechi Agav Namikri She'igia Lana She'nitzel Me'a Kelev. Is that called that she got Hana by being saved by the dog? O'kivin D'chayiv Latzil Lo Kiblin Menel Shem Kiddushin Klum. Or maybe no, maybe since he was chayiv to save her, it wasn't considered that she got any hana from him. Dumyu demay the kamar gemar ksubus kufches gabi shokel shiklo demutter mishum demitzvah ka'avid upirish b'shita sham shlo kibla hana menu elamei mitzvah. That if someone gives your machas a shekel for you, it's not that you got hana from that person, you got the mitzvah from that person. He was doing your mitzvah for you. V'kashim mashkas of a Rosh Sanhedrin. Ah, problem is Rosh Sanhedrin sounds like this. That when, yes, there is a chiv that Reuven has saved Shimon when Shimon is being, or Reuven has saved Sarah when Sarah is being chased by a dog. But if it costs money, Sarah's got to pay back. Im kein, ilav hakidushin ois cheves l'shalim lo. So he should have to pay him for his services. So even though he has a chiv to do it, but his chiv doesn't extend to the money. His chiv is only on the action. So if there's any monetary value to what he's doing, she owes him that money. It's the moment that she would have had to pay him. Now, I don't really understand that kasha so much. Because pashtus in the Gemara in Kiddushin is, he's going to save her from the dog without spending money. The only time there's chiv mamon is when he spends money. Then she has to pay him back. So yeah, then that money, that monetary value, you could say, is what he's being Makadisha with. But Pasha that Gemara was, there was no money. It was just that he was physically trying to save it. But this may also relate to our Chakira that we said before. How does that Chiyuv Mamon work? Is it that the Chiyuv Mamon is really the Nitzel's Chiyuv Mamon, and the Matzil is just laying out the money? So there's a real Shiv and Mamon, so there's a real significant between the two parties. She owes him money. Or is it that the Matzil is his own Chiyuv, Klapei Shemaya? It's not that he's just covering you, he's just covering the money for the Nitzel in the interim. The Matzil is his own Chiyuv, Klapei Shemaya. And therefore, when the Matzil is spending money, the Nitzel is unable to, he's not doing it to give to the Nitzel. He's doing it to satisfy his chiv, klapei shemaya. In which case, there is no money that the nitzel owes him. I mean, that might be the issue between the Rosh and the Adrama. Rav Elchanan suggests, he rejects it, but he suggests maybe that's exactly the ibaya in the Gemara, that's why he leaves it as a teiku. The Gemara's not sure, does she really have to pay him? If it's a chiv ben adam l'chavero, chiv mam ben adam l'chavero, then the nitzel should have to pay the matzil. And then she should be mukdeshes in this case. But if there's no chiv ben adam l'chaver, it's just a chiv klapei shemaya that's really on the nitzal and then just transfers onto the matzil if the nitzal doesn't have the money, then she's not mekadesh in this case. Because she doesn't really owe him any money. She owed a Kadosh Baruch Hu money. She has a chiv klapei shemaya to save herself. She didn't have the money, so it's his chiv klapei shemaya. But it's not a din between the two of them. It's not a dinim mamonis between the two of them. Says maybe that's why it's an ibaya that the Gemara leaves as a teku. Okay, something to contemplate, something to think about over Seder tomorrow morning. But Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll really get to the Safik Sakana stuff. Safik Sakana is the big sugi here.
So you don't suggest doing